I'm sat in my car on the banks of the River Ouse, which is very swollen at the moment. And I imagine if there's any more rainfall, my car may well be underwater. Behind me, I turn around, it's now in front of me, is one of Britain's, possibly Britain's oldest pub. It's the old Ferryboat Inn in Holywell. Holywell, which there is a Holywell just up the road in a church where the name comes from, apparently. And I popped in to have a swift half on my way to a writer's retreat, which is literally just me and no internet connection in Norfolk, which apparently it's really easy to find, no internet connection in Norfolk. How could I not stop here, this place steeped in history? 2 days ago, I was at a pub also owned by Green King, called the Nutshell. Is that right? Yeah, I think so. And that's Britain's smallest pub. And here we have potentially Britain's oldest pub. I say that because it's contested. I have been to the trip to Jerusalem in Nottingham, which is definitely Britain's oldest pub building, whether it was a pub for its entire history, because it's a cave. Who knows? Here, they apparently have records, not in the pub, because they didn't know that much, of the first drink being sold, no licensing laws, of course, back then, I imagine, in 560 AD. How incredible is that? I wonder what those records are. Are they a poem from a reverend or vicar or someone passing through? Because let's remember, this pub, or should I say, a building selling drinks from on this spot, is here primarily because it's a ferry crossing, or was. Apparently it was washed away in 1947, according to a couple of really friendly gentlemen that I met in the bar. And of course there was traffic going up and down the Great Ouse and Ives and to the coast, all the market, cattle going across, and this was a main thoroughfare in more than one way, and it was very hard for me to actually find the place, because the village that it's in is kind of a weird circle, and I drove around, is it back lane, to get to front lane, and it's just off there. It's a beautiful spot. I imagine in the summer it's gorgeous when there isn't a plastic protective barrier stopping you from falling in the flooded river. Gorgeous. Unfortunately, when I entered the pub, I always want to grab a conversation with somebody who knows about the history, someone who can share a story with me. And there was a very friendly manager here who has been told in no uncertain terms not to speak to the media. Media being anybody who asks for an interview, whether you're a blogger like myself doing this purely for fun today. I'm not getting paid or doing anything for collecting stories in my spare time. Or press, you know, I could have come in with camera gear on my shoulders and I would have been treated exactly the same, which was, here's a phone number, please phone our PR department. Which, if I'm totally honest, peed me off. For me, a pub, especially a pub like this, it just soaks up stories, and there shouldn't be any hindrance to any conversation, any sharing of information, of news, of tales, of, you should just share stories. I mean, where does all the suspicion come from, unless there is a particular story that you are only allowed to say because, well, who knows if it's true or not. So unfortunately I was given a phone number, which I did call, and I spoke with a very friendly Laura, who said she totally understood my frustrations, and I could tell from talking to her that this was, you know, these are corporate laws that have been laid down across the whole of the brewery, and I guess every single establishment, and the staff just have to adhere to it, otherwise they'll get the sack or lose their jobs. The manager did tell me, if I talk to you, I'm in breach of my contract. That's what she's been told on the phone. That's really scary. I said, can I take a photograph just to kind of test how much she kind of knew about the situation? She says, I don't know. I says, I've taken a photograph outside. Do you think that's okay? She says, I don't know. I'll have to check. that really got my goat up, because being a photographer and knowing the laws, yes, it's absolutely fine. I can take a photograph in a public place standing outside looking at the pub. So that really frustrated me, because 1,500 years of history, 1,500 years of storytelling on the spot that I was standing, and not far away from the spot I was standing, the body, allegedly, of a 17-year-old girl buried beneath the floor of the pub. A girl who was once very much in love, and that her story is one of the kind of selling points, I guess, the brewery would think. One of the those quirky things you often get in these kind of places. So I took my beer and rather dejected, sat down. And then remembered that if you really want to know about these places, some of these places that change hands numerous times. One of the most noted for this particular pub was in 97, I believe it was, when it burnt down. Again, being a thatched pub, they have a habit of doing that. And I think that's when Green King took it over. If not, then a little while afterwards. And I got speaking to two guys called James and Paul. Two guys who appear to be very local, as in not geographically, but this is the place they come and choose to drink. Slightly dejected because they couldn't sit in the oldest part of the pub, a part of the pub that survived the last fire, which is their favourite place to sit. And when I looked at the beautiful fireplace in the corner and where the two lovers were embraced on the couch underneath their stairs, as if to say, come on, get on with you, I could see why they'd like to sit there. But these two guys gave me so much wonderful information, and I probably just should have got my beer, sat down and chatted with them in the first place. I'm sure that if I'd have said, could I record some things from you right now, I would have been able to do that as well. They told me about an amazing guy who lived in a house just down the road here who was the local reed cutter, and they used to drink with him for many, many years. And some of the stories he would tell me, he was the guy that was paid 2 and 6 or whatever it was to pull the dead bodies from the water if they were seen floating down the River Ouse, and he would sell his reeds from the front of his house, and he was the only one that had a license to cut reeds in the area. And other people and other tales and other stories, and it dawned on me that I'm listening to a kind of a 50-year period of history from a history that is absolutely immense. And wouldn't it be great if it was every pub's responsibility to document the tales that occur in the pubs, to document the stories. Forget having a jukebox in a pub, let's have an audio booth. A booth where you go into and you just tell your story into this microphone, and it's there, and it's transcribed, and it's saved for prosperity, so that should this pub be here for another 1,500 years, those stories are collected, the history is collected, and people can enjoy it without having to go to a member of staff that doesn't want to talk to you under pain of death, or at least under pain of job loss. So I'm very passionate, as you can probably tell, about these hubs, because if you think about the only other places, market squares, there's no kind of physical, you don't really get a picture of people sitting down and talking. Churches, exceptionally old, yet you go there to listen to one person talking normally. Here, this is the origins of social networking. And this pub right next to me right now, think just to try and get your head around the connections made, the stories told, the news shared, the tragedies, and the amazing times had over beer, ale, wine, mead, cider, whatever comes across the bar. We don't own these stories at all. We're made of stories.